You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Kathy Laird is here. She's executive director of the Human Rights Legal Support Center. She's here in part to talk about that case that we all, I think, took note of, happened not that many days ago, where it came to light that a number of product demonstrators, you know, the older women you sometimes see in supermarkets demonstrating product and handing out free samples, were fired because the people in charge wanted younger women, essentially. They were fired for being too old and wanted younger women more along the lines of soccer moms. This, of course, is a pretty good human rights case, and that's why I believe it's going to be handled, in fact, Kathy Laird, through your center. This is a pretty, it seems to me, a very plain example of age discrimination, doesn't it?
Well, you've summarized very well the allegations in our applications. That is the what our clients have told us has happened to them, and we've filed applications before the Human Rights Tribunal setting out those allegations. What the women believe is that they were all fired because they didn't meet the image of a sort of soccer mom person who could sell to other soccer moms in the grocery store.
Now, is that a thin edge of the wedge thing? I mean, you can say, okay, you don't fit the image. It's not really how old you are. It's the fact you don't fit the image. But the image is all about age, is it not, in this case?
Yes. And
I mean,
and
you could argue that.
These aren't modeling jobs. I mean, these are sales jobs.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Our evidence will be that these women were all pretty good salespeople, that they did a good job in their positions and they moved the product. And so why were they all, why did they all lose their employment over a fairly short period of time? They believe, and we've alleged that based on the evidence that we've seen, that it was based on their age. And if that is the case, then that would be a violation of the Human Rights Code.
How does the Human Rights Legal Support Center work in a case like this? Tell us a bit about the process.
Okay, well, we receive about 150 calls a day from new individuals. These are people who've called us for the first time, generally, to talk about a new case where they think they've experienced discrimination.
Right.
And of those, about 3% involve age. I think I've got that percentage right. It's about 700 cases involving age a year.
700 a year?
700 inquiries that come to us involving potential age discrimination.
Where that's the issue, at least.
That's the issue. That's right. And then we have lawyers, and when it looks like it could be a human rights infringement, when it looks like age could be an issue, and these are mostly, the age cases would be almost entirely employment cases. Mm-hmm. So we would schedule that person to meet with one of our lawyers, and we'd get a more detailed rundown of the facts that our client has within their knowledge. And then we file an application at the Human Rights Tribunal of Ontario. They are the fact-finding body, the adjudicative body. And the tribunal will then serve that application on the employer. In this case, on two respondents.
But the Human Rights Commission, Commission has to decide whether or not it will proceed, though, as well, don't they?
No, that role of the Human Rights Commission has been removed from the Ontario system. It used to be that the Human Rights Commission whether a case would go to a hearing, and actually under that system, far fewer cases went to a hearing. The tribunal was issuing only about 10 decisions a year on the merits. Under the new system, it's releasing scores more decisions each year, and it's receiving.
So it passes through there, really.
It passes
essentially
through. Now cases preemptively, generally scheduled for mediation and for adjudication. before the tribunal.
That puts a new effectiveness on the kind of work you do at the support center, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah. We find that we can often resolve things before a hearing, because now respondents, that it would be employers, landlords, shopkeepers, business people, they realize it's going to go to a hearing, and so they want to talk about whether there's a resolution. Even if they don't see the facts the same way as we do, it's often a good business practice to see. We always look for what we call a public interest remedy. Even if an employer feels the facts are a bit differently, we talk to them about whether or not they have the proper workplace policies so that hopefully we'll be able to prevent future cases.
Do you think that you said 3% of the issues of 700 a year involve some kind of ageism. Do you think that number is underrepresented? Do you get that feeling, or is that about right?
I do get that feeling. Well, in particular, I get that feeling after the media coverage of this story, because since this story hit the media, we've gotten calls from all over Ontario, dozens of calls, and even calls from across Canada, from people who feel like they have lost employment because of their age in similar circumstances. Not necessarily the same kind of employer.
Not quite that categorically, maybe, but
A range of facts. You know, the law changed so that mandatory retirement was no longer a permissible exception in Ontario and pretty well across the country. So that has also changed how these legal disputes play out. But if age is a factor in why someone was terminated, then it's potentially against
the law. I
guess
what I'm driving at is maybe a majority of people do not believe that they're protected against ageism. The fact that
yes, that could be the case. And that's the value of the media coverage, because it does both let employees know what their rights are, and also it lets employers know what their responsibilities are. So, we hope that in getting some attention on this case, we prevent, dozens of others from having to be litigated, where people go, oh, right, okay, that is my responsibility under the law. Let's find another way of...
Well, the other reminder that you produce, I think, just by doing what you do, is you remind those who hire people, for example, in the workplace, that there is such a thing as age discrimination.
Yes, that's right.
And you must not discriminate against those just because of the number they have after their name.
Yes, yes. Yeah, we have had cases involving employment and age and testing for employees to see if they could do the physical work involved in a job.
So now this case, before we get on to some general discussion here, I have a number of people who have some questions and comments for you. How long would it take for this case to work its way through the tribunal system?
Generally, once the applications are filed and accepted as complete, which is probably the case now for these applications, they're served on the respondent by the tribunal, the employer, and any other named respondents. Mm-hmm. And then it would go to mediation within about 6 months, and to a hearing, if not resolved, to a hearing within about another 6 months.
What are the remedies what are the remedies in this case? Maybe you could tell me a bit about that.
Well, this is kind of interesting. In the seven applications, the amount of lost wages is only $38,000. So that paints quite a picture of what we're talking about here. Really, it's about $5,000 per woman, which isn't a lot of money, but nonetheless, as the women will tell you, it's crucial for them. This employment income is crucial for them. And we find that with older workers, a large percentage are working part-time and for quite low wages in around that wage, that rate. So as it becomes harder to get old age security and CPP, if the age is raised for those entitlements, then this kind of income, part-time income, will become more important for a large segment of the population.
I think it's important now, listening to some of the comments of some of the women.
Right.
I mean,
absolutely.
That was very handy money that they had come to expect, because they'd worked in some cases for many years at this kind of job, right?
Yes, they'd all worked for a number of years, and some of them 10, 12, 8, 15 years, longtime employees.
Here's Lynn on the line from Brampton. Lynn, do you have a comment or a question?
Yes.
Go ahead, Lynn.
Yes, Mr. Gohart. I'm a firm believer of equal job practice, and I don't believe in this business of dismissing someone just because of their age, and there should be something done about it. You know, I remember growing up in Toronto, my mother and I used to shop at some of the prestigious stores like Eaton's and Simpson's. I remember I was always accustomed to, usually at that time, or my mother and I would be dealt with by a senior person at that, what you call a senior, I guess, today. But I never even thought about it. They'd done the job, and they'd done it well, you know, and they could still do it today. What's the government doing about it?
Well, I mean, we have the, thanks very much, Lynn. I mean, I think a lot of people might be saying that, well, it's still around, and we need to fight back against those kinds of things. I guess the Human Rights Legal Support Center is doing what it can to fight these kinds of attitudes in the workplace. You know?
Yeah, I mean, we certainly are. We our phone lines are open, and we want to talk to anyone who feels that they have experienced this kind of discrimination.
Is there, at any point, does the Human Rights Legal Support Center have any other responsibilities to supply government or any other authorities with some of your thoughts on, for example, age discrimination, or do you essentially focus on the individual cases you bring through the tribunal?
We're the litigators in the system, so we focus on the individual cases. However, the Ontario Human Rights Commission does look at the policy issues mm-hmm. and also try to work with employers and with government to ensure that, as employers, the right policies are in place and that government puts in place the legislative framework that's necessary to prevent discrimination. So the commission has that role. Mm-hmm. The Law Commission of Ontario has also recently done a report on older workers. So the information that they've brought into the public arena recently is a good policy background on the predicament of older workers in the workforce, how vulnerable they are. And of course, unattached older women are a particularly vulnerable group. They may have been out of the workforce for a period while they raised families or took care of family members. And so their earnings often after the age of 55, 60, even 65 are crucial to them not really staying above the poverty line, but at least staying, having food on the table.
Because the bottom line is, when you speak of age discrimination, if you're capable of doing the work, your age literally is supposed to have nothing to do with it, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's the principle involved. That's the law involved.
That's right. I mean, obviously, if an employee isn't able to perform in the job, then an employer has their remedies. There could be circumstances in which a younger age is what we would call a bona fide job requirement. Or gender. I mean, it's hard to
guess
think of.
Yeah. But I mean, it would be one thing to go looking for work and have the person say, no, we need somebody between the ages of 45 and whatever, not somebody who's 72. But by the same token, it's quite a different issue, is it not, if you're the person in the job, age 72, and you're fired.
Yeah, you're actually doing the job without
You're doing the job
problems.
And then suddenly you're gone.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.
Kathy Laird is here. She's Executive Director of the Human Rights Legal Support Center, talking about that case of a few weeks ago. We first heard about it, where a number of product demonstrators in supermarkets were let go simply because they were the wrong age, i.e. too old. And younger product demonstrators, more along the lines of soccer moms, whatever that age exactly is, I'm not sure, were sought to replace the older women. Of course, that's now a case that goes before the Human Rights Commission, and we'll see down the line at some point what the outcome is. Number of people on the line who have some thoughts. Here's Bernice in Wyerton. Bernice, what would you like to say about this?
I would like to ask a question.
Yeah.
Do these rules apply to the people in government as well, that when they get to a certain age, they have to go whether they want to or not?
Well, actually, it's the contrary for everyone, whether or not they, wherever they work, there is no law requiring an employee, and let me put it this way, there is no law enabling an employer to terminate employment based on age for an employee.
In other words, mandatory retirement is gone.
There's no mandatory retirement permissible.
Yeah.
I see. Okay, that's why I wanted to know that it was fair right across the board.
Well, I think it's as well. We'll get Kathy to comment on that. It seems ostensibly pretty fair across the board.
The statutory law doesn't distinguish between employers.
Private or public, right?
That's right. I mean, there could be particular cases involving, I don't know, and there could be airline pilots. That would be federal. You know, the law is nuanced, and some of this is established by human rights tribunals and courts making decisions. I just want to correct something that Dale said a moment ago. It isn't the Human Rights Commission that hears and decides these cases. It's the Human Rights Tribunal of Ontario.
Right.
So it's like a court. It hears evidence from both sides, and it makes findings based on the evidence proved under oath through its process. At the end of the day, issues a decision. So it's a very carefully constructed process. We're at the beginning of the process here, and we're telling you what the allegations that are in the applications we filed.
The tribunal will decide, of course. Here's Patrick calling from Grimsby. Do you have a question, Patrick?
Yes, I have, Dale. Regarding old age, doesn't your guest here define old age when the government supplies or gives you an old age security at 65?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you can be discriminated against because you're 65.
Yeah, I know you can't be discriminated against, but when you get... I was in a bank here recently in Grimsby, and I went in, and one of the tellers happened to ask me what the OA/ means when I get my old age pension. And I said, they're old age security.
Yeah. Well, that's...
In Europe, I mean, old age security deal has been done away with. It has been ruled that discrimination.
Well, you're not arguing that, are you?
I am, yeah.
You are?
Yeah, because the government is saying to these workers, I mean, your old age, like your guest also said there just a few minutes ago, that these people were getting old age security. I mean, the whole thing is old age at 65. The government is telling you, no, you got to go, you're 65.
No, it's not saying you have to. Kathy, jump in here. The government isn't saying you have to go.
No, definitely not. In fact, the government policy at this point is to encourage workers over 65 to stay in the labor force. I think that we've seen from economists some alarm about a large-scale exodus from the labor force.
Yeah.
And you see that's consistent with the government, the federal government, talking about delaying the age at which you can qualify for old age.
Sorry to butt in, but I don't think it's the age you're talking about. You're talking about old age. They're now going to bump up the old age security to 68. So I think an employer has the right to tell you, you're old age.
No, I don't think
it's history.
Well, but the law doesn't agree with you, Patrick. That's all I can say. And if you make too much money with that job at age 65, they'll claw back the old age check anyway.
I know, I realize that. But
the
word itself is offensive. I've had a couple of people when they bump off these young thugs when I go into Mississauga. They'll hit you and say, what's wrong with you, old man?
Patrick, thanks for your call. I'm certainly with you on that. I don't know how old you are, but I'm 69, and I don't like the term old or elderly.
And that could be another kind of age discrimination.
Well, isn't it?
Yeah, if you're being treated differently in a, did you say a pub? Because
he said a pub. I didn't say a pub. He said a pub. Not that I've never been in a pub. I'm not saying that, okay?
So, yeah, we do get cases like that where older people, seniors, are treated badly in service establishments.
Or dismissed, ignored, you know, dismissed and ignored.
Yes, they don't get the same level of service. And that also could be captured under, could be a human rights infringement, could be under the code.
Here's Carolyn calling from Simcoe. Carolyn, do you have a question?
Yes, good afternoon.
Hi.
I've had a situation that is, shall we say, annoying. I'm 69, like you are.
All right.
I am very fit mentally and physically.
Uh-huh.
I would like some part-time work just as an interest. I have applied to 3 different positions from ads that I saw in the newspapers,
mm-hmm.
all of which I was very qualified for. One in particular really made me angry. I went to the interview. The lady was very impressed, very much liked my qualifications.
Yeah.
And at the end of the interview, her comment was, well, you know, really, I think you're not going to be able to work for much longer, which was a very quiet way of saying she thought I was too old for the spot.
Good grief.
What can we do about that kind of thing?
Yeah, it's attitude, isn't it?
Oh, well, I mean, yeah. It could be that in that case you were refused employment on the basis of your age, in which case...
Absolutely.
You could file a human rights application. You could challenge that employer, and it would be taken seriously by the tribunal and adjudicated. And if the reason you didn't get the job was simply because of that, if you were otherwise qualified, then you might be looking at a situation where you get some financial compensation.
Because
the interesting part of this whole scenario, I was the only person who applied for the position. Now, out here in the country, there are not a lot of people who are local, shall we say, that can kind of be flexible in terms of part-time hours.
Yeah.
Now, I was the only applicant, and I found that out simply in conversation with the lady that did the interview. And yet 2 weeks later, the same ad was in the paper again.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds to me like you could have a case, and I don't know if you want to, you know, pursue that. Not everyone wants litigation in their life, but if you do, you can think about it for sure.
But the point is, if you stand up and be counted about it, Kathy, even if your case does not proceed, even if the center says, no, we don't believe that we could have a positive outcome, it's at least counted as somebody who called with an issue involving ageism, does it not?
It will still make, if what you're asking is, does it make an impression? Yeah, it does make an impression. It does teach an employer something in that situation. So, you know, you could write and say that you listened to this show and you realize that it could have been discrimination and maybe you don't want to litigate, but you want the person to know that what they were doing is wrong. And actually, we advise people about that all the time. Lots of people call us, have had things happen to them that seem to be discrimination on one ground or another, but they don't always want to go to the tribunal.
No, I understand that.
Yeah.
Carolyn, good luck in your job search, okay?
Okay.
All
right. Thank you very much.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Doug is on the line. Doug, what are your thoughts?
Dale, it's just a comment I want to make. I work for a federally regulated company. They used to have a policy that at 70 you couldn't work for them anymore.
Yeah.
We got a letter since the law has changed. Age 65 to 70. I got to see the doctor twice a year and be evaluated by our driver trainer.
Uh-huh.
Age 71 to 75, I've got to see the doctor 4 times a year.
You're a driver, right?
Yeah.
No, I get it.
Evaluated by our driver trainer.
Right.
And age 76 to 86,
yeah.
I got to see them every 2 months and be evaluated. So, like, it's a lot of doctors.
At what age do you have to actually move into the office and live there?
They haven't told me.
Yeah.
But there is not, they have not said you will be, have to leave after any age, which I think is great. I won't be driving that long. But
no, but also it's safety in mind here is what we're talking about, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And I think as long as you have your wits about you, you have a safe driving record, and you can be passed by our driver's trainers, which are very good people,
then
I think you should be allowed to keep driving. And I do this on a part-time basis. I don't work 40 hours a week. I pick and choose my days I want to work.
Well, that's
so
pretty.
It's great. It's a great part-time job.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good example of a situation in which the ability to do the job is appropriately taken into account, and objective testing is used to determine if the person continues to have that ability beyond a certain age, and so that's a good employer practice.
Yeah.
Just from the sounds of it.
Thanks very much, Doug.
You're welcome.
Happy driving, okay?
Thank you.
Bye. All right, okay. Here's Reva calling on a cell phone. Reva, what are your thoughts?
Well, there was a comment about it's only $5,000 per person.
that would be coming to these seniors that yeah. are, you know, having that are filing complaint. And I'm thinking only $5,000? And you say that, well, that's not very much. But how would you like it if you looked at your bank statement and suddenly there was $5,000 missing? Would you say, oh, well, that's just a small amount. I'll just let that go?
Well, you're saying the amount should be higher?
No, I'm saying it isn't a small amount.
No, it's not. It's not a small amount. But I guess as far as claims go, when you talk in the if you do big picture talk, it's not a lot of money. But it certainly is a lot of money to individuals.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the point I was making, that although it seems like a pretty small amount, $38,000 for 7 women divided uh-huh. up, about $5,000 each. It to them it was crucial.
That's a huge amount of money. Yeah. $5,000 for each person is a lot of money.
Yeah, Reva, thank you. Thank you very much. Could it have been a higher claim? I mean, well, what are the guidelines for that sort of thing?
So that's the amount of the lost wages. In human rights cases, you can also claim financial compensation for the fact that you have been discriminated against. Mm-hmm. In the case of these women, they will say that it was humiliating to them in yes. the community and that many people thought they'd lost their jobs because they weren't doing a good job. So their testimony would be that they experienced humiliation associated with the how they were treated. So yes, we can and have claimed damages for that amount as well. And off the top, I think we claimed about $20,000 per woman in addition to the $5,000. You know, I'm just rounding that
sure,
off.
Sure, sure.
So another amount for what we would call general damages, but basically for the experience of discrimination.
Well, and plus the fact if you lose your job at 72, good luck on finding another one.
Well, yes. Opportunities
just aren't the same. Aren't going to be the same.
Well, I think one of your other callers spoke to that.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Here is Heinz calling from Uxbridge. Heinz, do you have a comment or a question?
No, I have a fast question.
All right.
Is it true that a person that retires now gets more pension money than a person that retired about 10 years ago, as I did?
Oh, I certainly
well,
can't answer that.
Yeah, the general answer is yeah. It comes with a long, very involved explanation. But, I mean, that's not really a pension issue. Isn't really what we're talking about. We're just talking about ageism. What you're talking about is sort of a bureaucratic discrimination that means you get a few bucks less than somebody who retired after you. I understand that.
That's correct.
That's true. Thank you, Heinz, very much. Let me take one last call from David. David, you got any? Got a question for Kathy?
I have a comment, actually. Right. In 2002, I retired from teaching, and the understanding is then, and certainly it was what I based my retirement on in terms of income, was that not only would I be able to teach in addition to receiving my pension, but that I would be encouraged to do so because at that time there was a teacher shortage.
You'd be on the supply list, you mean?
That is correct.
Right.
And I've never done occasional contracts. I simply do daily work. And, of course, since then there has been a surplus of teachers.
No
and
kidding.
Young people continue to enter teachers' colleges and can't find work.
And sometimes they can't get on the supply list because of older teachers who are already there.
Well, that is correct.
Yeah.
My point is, I based my retirement income on this situation. The situation has changed, and now I am really feeling that I should step aside in order to make room for these young teachers who enter teachers' college, hopefully fully knowing they would be a long time getting a position. And
well, that's a very altruistic thought you're having there, David.
Well, I guess from my point of view, I just see it as another form of ageism, essentially. I realize it's considered double dipping, but in that regard, perhaps somebody who's receiving their old age pension and is continuing to work is also double dipping. I mean, there's kind of a...
Well, I guess that's true, but I mean, The money takes care of that, because if, as we said a few minutes ago, if you make above a certain amount of money, your old age security benefit disappears anyway. It's all clawed back.
I appreciate that. I guess my comment is just, I think retired teachers that are continuing to teach are kind of a bad word right now.
Yeah, David, I understand what you're saying, and I've heard it said before. What are your thoughts, Kathy?
Well, just a couple of things. It seems to me, judging from what I've read in the newspapers, that this issue is one of the issues that's kind of hotly in dispute in the government's current situation, dispute with teachers. So, you know, I understand that that was one of the things that was on the bargaining table and is in the legislation.
Yeah.
And then let me just say that I am the mother of a recently graduated teacher.
I'm the father of a recently graduated teacher, and my daughter's heading off to Kuwait to teach in Kuwait.
Okay, well, I'll say that my daughter has taught so far in Macau, in Shanghai, Hong Kong.
That's right.
And she's doing very well, but I'd kind of like to get her home eventually.
Well, eventually that
will
happen.
Yeah,
I think David's point, though, about discrimination is that people look at that when we're talking about the oversupply of teachers and saying, boy, if some of those old fogey teachers would just get off the list, we could give the young kids a chance. And if you have that kind of attitude, that to me is ageism. That's systemic ageism.
Absolutely. And, you know, I know from speaking to, you know, neighbors who are teachers, and of course, the older teachers who come in as a supply teacher into the schools that they've taught, and they do bring something special because they have the experience. So it's a question of getting the right balance. And it's a good example of competing public policies.
I think that's true. Kathy Laird, thank you very much for coming in and being part of our program today. I really appreciate it. Kathy Laird is Executive Director of the Human Rights Legal Support Center.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.